Sterling City Council meeting, of course, was on Monday, and boy, we're getting close to only a couple more left in the year. And of course, joining us in studio, Sterling Mayor Skip Lee, City Manager Scott Schumard. Hey guys, how we doing?
Hey, we're doing great. We are actually doing wonderfully. You know, I wish it was about 40 degrees warmer outside. Well, and there were waves crashing on the sand, and I'm a few thousand miles east for that to happen.
Or west.
No, the Atlantic. Nothing beats the Pacific.
Wait a minute. He did say east.
No, I'm too east. Far east, yes.
I'm too far east of the Pacific.
Too far east of the Pacific, okay. Well, yeah, but you
He's
might...
a brilliant radio man, but obviously geography was not his.
But you might run in... Yeah, but if you're out there now, you might run into a shipping container, and that could be happening.
Well, that's true.
Also.
It'd be like that James Bond and where the boat gets crunched up by the propeller, so yeah. Radical dude.
Mr. Schumard, everything going well?
I'm not adapting well to the daylight savings time.
Not quite like jet lag, though.
No, it's just I miss my light after work, that's all.
It does sink way too early, but just think about this. December 21st, we turn it around, and that's not far away.
That's true.
Not far away. Any involvement with Sights and Sounds? Anybody coming to you for advice on anything?
No, it sounds like
the planning?
Jana has that pretty well going. You know, that's a... You know, they work very hard on that. Their fireworks this year, and you know, Jana does a phenomenal job of organizing events. So that'll be quite the thing to see.
Yeah, and she's working with Chris over at Chamber of Commerce
right.
as well. A lot of people involved.
So yeah, I mean, it's you know, Sterling does festivals as well. You know, we do things. So I'm looking forward to it. I may not be in town that night. I may have to be in Springfield. You know, this is the time of the year that I serve on the Service Academy Nominations Committee.
Oh.
And we pick, you know, the young men and women who get congressional nominations. And I'll tell you, you know, if you go back, I think somebody once quoted Ptolemy in ancient Egypt of how the, you know, the youth were... You know, the country was going to heck and the youth were worthless and what was the future going to hold? And I think that's been true of every generation, you know. And but I'll tell you what, as I look at these Service Academy nom kids, it's just amazing the quality of youth that really is out there. You know, and there always has been. And so you know, some people worry about the future. I run into nowadays. It's very popular to be negative about everything, and you know, people wring their hands and, oh my God, what's going to happen to the United States of America, the world? I sleep very soundly. We have very talented kids out there. We have kids doing things that you and I never dreamed of being able to do when we were their age. And so, I think the future of this community and our country and our world is in good hands.
Well, when you and I were growing up, there was probably some elder neighbors down the street going, oh, there goes the future.
Oh, yeah. The thing that scares me...
Were they wrong? I don't know. I'm not sure.
Well, we certainly had no taste in their judgment in hiring city managers, did we? But it was... But you know, the one thing that's funny is that, you know, there's that commercial on TV about not becoming your parents.
Yes.
That's not so funny anymore.
Hitting a little too close?
Oh, yeah. Well, especially the last one I saw that had him in the airport. You know, I'm going, uh-oh.
So you got to put the brakes on that sort of activity the next time you go to an airport.
Well, and there are times that I go, oh, my gosh. My father, bless his heart, is not gone. He's still here. But anyway, though, so... But, yeah, this is getting to be a busy time of year. Thanksgiving's coming up. And, you know, we really do need to understand that we don't live in Nirvana. Things are not perfect. But we have a lot to be thankful for, you know, here. And, you know, we have a phenomenal city team. You know, the workers are doing a great job. You know, our employees. You know, Scott, as much as I may try and... bust his head every now and then, but you know, does a phenomenal job as city manager, and he's always ahead of the curve. So, I mean, we have lots of things. We have great people here in Rock Falls Sterling. You know, we have a few knuckleheads walking around. Some of them get elected mayor, but by and large, I mean, we have a lot of really great people in this community, in these communities. And so I am very thankful. You know, the other day I saw something on TV that said the quickest path to happiness is gratitude. And I'm incredibly grateful for what we have around here and what it's allowed me to do. So I wish everybody listening a happy Thanksgiving. I hope you're able to be with your families, and I hope, you know, this next, you know, we're looking to Christmas coming. Of course, the kids are already getting wound up as they come down off the Halloween sugar high, and now they're getting revved up. I can't believe how early Christmas stuff is coming out this year. I mean, we just barely got to Halloween.
Some of it was out before Halloween was even here.
Oh, but anyway, though, yes, almost like, forget about Thanksgiving. You know, we'll hit Black Friday and move on. But the kids are getting revved up for Christmas. 2022, I think, is going to be a better year in many, many ways. You know, we still have some hurdles to get through that were, you know, but I'm very optimistic for the future. I'm looking forward to living another year.
Bringing up the future, you got into a discussion at a city council meeting about some long-term planning for a...
I'll let Scott talk more about it because he's the detail person. But, you know, we are dealing with historically low interest rates for municipal bonds. And so what that means is that we have the opportunity on some things like whether it's infrastructure projects or pensions to bond out some of our obligation where we pay a very low interest rate but are making more money from our return on it, and therefore just short of $10 million over 16 years?
Yeah, it's about $4.5 million per pension fund that we could save over the next 16 years.
So if we can save the people in Sterling $10 million, you know, those are tax raises that don't necessarily have to happen or infrastructure things that can be done. But I'll let Scott speak to the bonding that we discussed last night because he's much better at it.
Yeah, so it is because of the historic low rates that we're at now. And even with things ticking up slightly, the bond market doesn't tick up quite as fast. So we've got a little bit of time, and it does take time to issue bonds. We've got, I think, roughly a 45-day timeline, closer to 90-day timeline by the time we get through all the hearings and things that are prescribed by law. But both pension funds have over $10 million in unfunded liabilities out there. So that's against us every year. So when we go to figure out how much we owe the pension funds, we have to calculate not only what the current retirees are owed based on their current salaries, but we also have to figure out how much we have to add in so that we can eventually pay down the unfunded liabilities for all the other retirees that are hanging out there. So that's that plus $10 million plus gap. So how do we pay that down? Because two things. One, if we don't pay it down, we're essentially having to pay extra interest on what we don't pay for now because that money's not earning investments. So that's one part of the issue. And then second is state law just requires us by 2040 to have our pension funds 90% funded, and we're closer to the 55% funded range. So this is a good time. It's comes with some risk that you're putting a bond out there, but the idea is that as long as you make more than the interest on the bonds, you do come out ahead and save money. So with bonds, we were looking at getting probably a 2.5% rate. We're being able to borrow for 2.5% for 16 years, which is a pretty good deal, in I think, in any world, especially when it's not like backed by a mortgage or anything like that, which is pension funding. You're backed by the good faith and the credit of the city. We take the tax that we're currently paying now towards the unfunded liability, and we'd make that now towards the bond payment. So instead of having that bond payment creep up over time, the unfunded liability, we have the exact same bond payment for the next 16 years. So we're not facing that increase, which is a big part of it. And by the time we get 16 years out, the projection was about $300,000 a year we're saving towards the end of this. And that's big because our pensions are funded through property taxes, and if that $300,000 or $300,000 less we have in each pension fund that we're levying for, that's $600,000 less, obviously, for the community that we're having to levy, and that's where the real savings comes in. The mayor appropriately brings up, you know, the state has not done well with pension bonds, but the thing the state has not done is continued to fund as they should. Sterling and I have, as I said last night, it's not an easy choice to fully fund things because they are, the pension costs have been crazy and they've exploded through the years. And this year, our police pension costs went up 12%, but we're going to go ahead and fund it. But that's hard to manage. But we've done a good job of it and working our way through it, unlike the state. And that's the big difference. And as long as we continue to fund where the actuaries tell us to fund instead of trying to play games with it like the state has, there's no way. The only way that we would not make a savings on this is if over the next 16 years our investment returns average under 2.5%, essentially. So we're for the last 20 years, even with all the ups and downs, as the mayor pointed out, we have to subtract this last year. The two pension funds this last year, the investment returns were over 20%. I think one of them hit 27% last year just because of the amazing changes in the market. But we only had, I think, in the last 20 years, five years of less than 2.5%. There weren't even five negative years. We had a few negative years. Of course, the Great Recession was a negative, and I think there was one in there that maybe close to that was a negative. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, we've averaged 5-6% at worst over the time. So it's not a guarantee. Nothing in life is a guarantee, but better odds than not that we're going to end up saving hundreds of thousands of dollars a year for the city. So that gets passed directly on. So that's a good news thing for us.
Wow.
Yeah, and again, what it allows us to do too is it levels out those pension payments so that we don't get the spikes. You know, we had a few years that, due to variations in the market and what we were able to earn, what we had to pay, we had some double-digit tax levies, and then other years, very, very low or minimal. So this levels it out, which makes it easier for the people in Sterling and for our budgeting, so that we don't have to think, are we going to have to come up with 12% more this year? But, and Scott, it's a very good point. The city of Sterling has been faithful in paying what the actuaries say that we need to pay. And the state of Illinois didn't do that. I brought up last night at the council meeting. I remember when Governor Edgar, and I'm a fan of Governor Edgar. I thought he was a phenomenal governor. But the one thing he did, when they sold the bonds and, bonded out the pension fund, was the state never continued. Well, never, not continue. They just never paid what they were supposed to pay into the pension program. And that's why it failed, one of the pensions that are such a problem. And by the way, the fact that pensions are an issue is not, and I want to be very clear, is not the fault of our police and fire. I know that people point fingers at teachers and say, oh my gosh, you're the reason that TRS is such a big deal. No, state law sets down what the pensions are. So the state law sets down what the police and fire get for pensions, and then it's up to us to fund for that law.
Has that actually been brought up?
Yes. There have been times that people, you need to negotiate harder. You need to do that. And no, it's not our police and fire. And actually, the pension, what we're paying now, is to make sure that future generations aren't paying for past mistakes. If we don't pay what we're supposed to, then my grandchildren will be paying taxes for services rendered now.
Wow.
And that's not the way it should be. So, it's not always been an easy decision. We have had the rakes and the torches and the people at the castle gate, in the time I've been mayor and on the council, that people were upset about the tax raise, but we've got to do what is right. That's the one thing that I love about the city of Sterling. We really do try to do what is right. We don't try and cut corners. We don't try and get the easy way out. And that's not always the most popular thing to do. But I'm very proud that our council and our leadership over the years I've been associated with the council have always said, what is the right thing to do? So this, you know, the pensions are in good shape. There are some communities that didn't do that. Oh, well, we don't have to pay, you know, and we just won't. And that catches up to their taxpayers. Another thing that came out, though, last night on a positive is we had some promotions in the fire department. After the Twin City Joint Command was dissolved by Rock Falls, then, you know, we split up and we're back to where we have the fire department separate. Mike Detman became the chief. Well, that left the deputy chief position open as well as some internal promotions. So last night, we promoted Jason Williamson, who's been on the fire department for 28 years. His father was a retired, or his father is, a retired fire department captain.
Wow.
So Jason Williamson, who is a heck of a, he's a good man, and he's a heck of a firefighter. He's now the assistant chief, deputy chief. He wasn't, it took a little persuading to get him to take the position because, you know, leadership isn't always what it's cracked up to be. And, you know, you're cleaning up messes that other people make. And there's a lot of things that people don't see. But he stepped forward, and he'll do a phenomenal job. Trevor Myers, who's been on the force, on the department for 16 years, became a captain. And Adrian Avalar, who's been on the department 9 years, became a lieutenant. So, you know, again, I sleep very well at night knowing that if, God forbid, something happens and I have a fire at my house, these folks are going to get me out. You know, they are very, very qualified. And, you know, we're, again, very lucky to have, and I'm very thankful for what we have here. Good news is I came by 4th Avenue today, and they're paving. You know, First Avenue is being paved.
Well,
and
I love the smell of asphalt in the morning.
Oh. It's like napalm in the morning, right? But, yeah, the asphalt is going down. And it's going to be, you know, they're working at the intersection of 5th and 1st Avenue. And next council meeting, we'll pass the resolution or the ordinance to make that a two-way. Things are going very well. People are going to love 1st Avenue. The 4th Avenue north of town, I mean, if you've driven over that, that was a General Motors proving ground. So that new street and curb and gutter will be nice. Excuse me. You know, I hope it maybe at some point there's a section of 4th Avenue that is still, there's a bit where the curve is. It's a little bit ragged.
Yeah, 4th is going to be a big one for us. And it's kind of the same thing. It's a very narrow right-of-way in there, and that's going to be a little bit tricky for us when we go try and do that the right way sometime here in the future.
But, you know, we're making progress, so, you know, good deal.
Yeah, every once in a while when I do get out of here and there's some sort of street project going on, much as the asphalt is, I usually see Scott out there, you know, how's things going, or, you know, talking with the contractors.
Oh, spying on me, huh?
Well,
stalking you. There you go.
That's what I do in my spare time, as if I had any.
Well, it's called public accountability. But, you know, it's infrastructure is important. These streets, you know, it is important that we have good streets. I mean, it's one of many things that are important. But I'm excited about the progress we're making. Now, think of how people have improved their navigation skills now. Because if you want to get to the post office, and you live west of 1st Avenue.
Yeah, it's been an adventure this year. And, you know, unfortunately, I see the comments, too. So, finish one project before you start another. Well, if we did that, we'd never get anything done. But at the same time, you know, the state does its own thing on its schedule. And sometimes, you know, we don't know exactly when things are going to take off. And we know what we're on our schedule. You know, like 1st Avenue was already bonded for and engineered out before we knew that IDOT was going to start opening up 4th Street at the same time we had 1st Avenue opened up. So it's unfortunate. I know it's an inconvenience, but I think it's certainly small enough. It's no more than, at worst, you know, your 5 to 10 minute inconvenience and for a short period of time. And I think both those projects, and when, I know we've hammered on this before, but I think it's worth reiterating yet again, is we're not just putting a new surface on junk because that's not a road that's going to last. It'll last a few years. It'll look nice when it goes down, but it's just not going to last the same amount of times when you actually go through and tear up the base. And not every road needs to have the base torn up either, don't get me wrong. But like First Avenue, there were places in there where it was just nothing but clay, gumbo-y mud underneath the road. And if you don't pull that out, the road is going to, you know, it's going to shift around, and that's going to cause the cracks, and the cracks cause the potholes. So by going back in there, doing things the right way, we get a lot longer life out of it, which means we're not disrupting you again in the future, or that much sooner in the future. And, you get a longer lifespan, so you're getting more bang for the buck out of it. Plus, we went back through, you know, you've got new gas service in some of those areas. We've got, there was new water lines to the hydrants. We've got new stormwater sewer through there, new curb gutter, new sidewalk. All this stuff is going in. It's not just resurfacing the roads. They're complete projects when it comes to this. And next year is potentially going to be another major mess. Route 40 is going out for bid, I believe, in January from the state. So from 14th Street to the north end of town, that'll be...
Well, challenging.
Challenging. I think they're intending to keep one lane open at all times, There for a while, I think there is going to be two-way traffic while there's some stormwater work that may not leave anything open. It'll be interesting to watch how it all goes down, but it's going to be a major project starting next year.
So some of these pop up and people, you know, enter a construction zone and it's almost assuming, well, what's the city up to now? And some of those are not the city.
Yeah, it's just the same. If we took the complaints for 4th Street next to the Central Park for Grand Civic Center for years, but that's a state highway and that's in their hands. But at the same time, I think we're going to avoid it just because of the timing on it. Lefevre is on our project list. West Lefevre from Locust all the way out to halfway between Avenue K and Avenue L. There's a seam there. And the idea was to do it next summer, but the way the state funding works, because there is some federal funding involved, so we got to follow some state rules, and I don't think it'll go out to bid till June or July. So we won't start work on it. And then, of course, but we can't bid something in June, July in front of Washington School and then start work in early August. You know,
you could,
but we'd like to have some credit, I guess. And thinking about this, so we've already talked with the engineers about, you know, how we're going to stage this thing out, because it's going to be hard to get done in 3 months too. But what can we do to minimize the impact on traffic going to Washington School, and where can we start turning out curb and sidewalk maybe in the fall further away in preparation to start doing some new things? That way, when the summer of 23 hits, we can tear out the fever all at once, or at least in the area of Washington School, and get that put back in before the school year starts. So we try to take those things into mind, but I guess it's probably fortunate that IDOT will hopefully be working on Locust in the middle of summer 22, because then 23, Lefevre will be torn up. And just the same, you know, who knows what will happen, but it looks like East 2nd Street should be out for bid, or it'll go out, it'll be a bid on in June and July of 22 as well. So that one, because there's not a school next to it, they might be able to get a head start on that in the fall next year or late construction season. We'll see how that goes, but that we'd have our fingers crossed on that one to get that one out. But again, that one, there's ITEP money. It's great when you get grant funds because it's free money, but at the same time, there's two hitches. One hitch is the amount of engineering that you have to do up front is more than what we would do normally, and so that costs money, but that's a state requirement of it. And then two, the final specs that get put out at the end require state things. And then three, you're stuck on the state's bidding schedule too. We can't just bid it out whenever we want. We have to go on certain state lettings, and that messes with some time frames for us sometimes. And so we got a lot of stuff that has to be put in order before that one goes out, but we hope to be able to get that out in the June-July letting next year, which would, again, hopefully we get 2nd Street torn up, and that's the new bike path as well that goes from Martin's Landing back across to Locust Street to the old National property. And with that done, you know, I don't know if, I think we've hit on it maybe once. I'm not sure if the park district's been in to talk about this, but, you know, they're working on the trail to go from Sauk Valley Community College back to Woodlawn, and they started on Woodlawn this year, and they're working their way out to Sauk Valley Community College. So, hypothetically, within a year or two of now, you could be able to go from downtown to the National plant all the way out to the community college all on a bike path system, you know, and that system, of course, hooks up with the feeder canal. And then at some point, we'd like to be able to get the Lynn Boulevard path connected back down to downtown, so that we've got some kind of perimeter loop, and you can get anywhere in town on the path and get, you know, it's whether it's functional for getting to work, shopping, getting kids to school, or just plain old exercise and recreation along the river. That's what we're trying to aim for.
And everybody's, they enjoy fireworks over the 4th of July, and now it's become a tradition during Sterling Sights and Sounds. Fireworks again coming up, and great support needed for the JCs for that.
Well, the JCs are one of those organizations that do a lot of things in the background, but one of the big things they do are the 4th of July fireworks. Everybody loves the 4th of July fireworks. It's always a good time, but that takes money, and they drop probably $10,000 to $15,000 a year to do that. And they work very hard. But one of the things they do is they have a bucket brigade. And I know that bucket brigades are very controversial in the city, because it slows down traffic and people are in a hurry for that extra 30 seconds that they might lose. But on December 4th, the JCs do have the bucket brigade, and I really urge people to support that. So that they can raise the money to have those fireworks.
Do we know where they're going to be?
I don't know all the locations. I know usually it's there on 1st Avenue and 3rd. They're usually down on 2nd Street. Yeah. 2nd Street and 2nd Avenue, they're down in that area. It's a very worthy cause and a very worthy organization.
Usually it doesn't slow traffic down that much because I've seen the fire department out there with their boots and at a four-way stop. So,
right.
Things
are going well. We're looking forward to the Thanksgiving holiday. I did not commute the sentences of any turkeys.
I was just going to ask. You
nope.
You didn't pardon.
Off of their heads.
Off of their heads. And then in the oven.
And in the oven,
yeah.
It's just
do a Roscoe P. Coltrane and stuff them and cook them.
Well, I tried to get the helicopter to come in and drop the turkeys.
Forget about that. Now everybody's going, what's that from?
Well, you're like your parents when you remember WKRP. But it's I hope everybody has a wonderful Thanksgiving. Enjoy the time. Family is important. There's just no doubt about it. I'm very blessed to have a phenomenal family.
And, thank you for coming in. And thank you, Mr. Schubert. And happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you.